God, to hear your word and obey your will. Bless the children and teachers as they go to Sunday school. May your truths be passed on from generation to generation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have fun at Sunday school.
First scripture is from the first chapter in scripture, Genesis chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 26 through the end of the chapter. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And then the next place where this theme comes up is in Psalm 8, and we're going to sing that later. I'm going to read a passage from Colossians chapter 1, where this theme of being made in the image and likeness of God comes up as well. There's another major passage in the letter to the Hebrews, but I'm not going to read it this morning, but it carries the same theme as what I would like to pursue this morning with you. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And that's as far as I'm going to read. May God bless the reading of his word. What does it mean to be a human being? I think we help ourselves as church and make a significant part of the mission of the church in paying careful attention to what does it mean to be human. Because I think we very often act well, not very human-like. I think it was Mark Twain who said, if you tell me that humans descend from monkeys, he said, I will tell you to stop insulting the monkeys. It's a question with many sides to it, and I'm just going to give a stab, a beginning stab, at what the Bible's teaching and its relevance for us might be. We need to think about this because we often think that we humans are not worth much. And we treat other people as if they're not worth much either. We murder, we bully, we steal, we cheat, we lie, we're unfaithful, on and on it goes. Terrible things happen. Before the service started, Andrew said, what should we pray for? And I said, you know, this weekend there were 3 people killed in a car crash and 2 people found murdered in a car. I mean, it just breaks your heart. This is not what it means to be an image bearer of God that these things happen. Well, over the centuries, as people have reflected on what it means to be human beings, they have come up with very different answers. I'm going to give you just a few of them. One of the answers is that we differ from most animals, from most mammals, in that we stand upright. And maybe that's about as far as the difference goes. Because we human beings have big, complex brains, sometimes philosophers said we humans are Homo sapiens, which means wise or smart animals. Someone else said that we are unique as human beings because we play, Homo ludens, the playing creature on the face of the earth. I'm not sure any of them are totally true of humans alone, actually. And then when I was a young man, and some of you at the same time may recall, there was a famous book came out, Humans Are the Naked Ape. The only difference of any kind between us and apes is that we are naked. We have less hair than they do. Maybe you remember the book by Morris. Sometimes people said we are homo faber, like in fabricate. We are creatures who can make stuff far, far beyond what any other creature on the earth can make. None of those concepts come anywhere near to what the Bible teaches us about what it means to be human. For the Bible, to be human means that we are made in the image and likeness no less than of God. We've fallen a long, long ways from that, to be sure. But I think it's really worth it to at least focus on what this text tells us of who and what God means for us to be. Now, when we read Genesis 1, it looks just like an ideal. And in a way, it is an ideal. But if you look at me, the last thing that will come to your mind is, hey, Alan looks like the image of God. Nobody said that this morning. You didn't say it to yourself this morning either when you looked in the mirror to pretty yourself to go to church. You didn't say that. But I think it's good for us to remember what Scripture, what God meant for us to be, because it also helps us to get a good grip on what it means for Jesus to be our Savior and what it means to be restored and born again and the direction in which God wants to move with you and me. Ideally, we bear the image of God. Think of God as Scripture describes God for us. Think of the excellence of God, the surpassing greatness. Think of God as the Creator who made the heavens and the earth. Think of God's beauty and His compassion and His holiness. Think of God's love and the depth to which it reaches to us. Think of God's justice. Think of how God comes to us, to our assistance, to help us to once again become the people that He always meant it for you and me to be. It startles and surprises to think of us. Lowly, fragile. And we're supposed to be image bearers of God. Together as male and female, we image God. Not one gender alone. We are social creatures. And if you prefer to be a loner, that's a little bit astray from the norm. We image God as male and female in the sense in which God also is in relationship with God's self, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They play together. From the early church, there comes a saying that says, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit do a square dance together in their relationship, which I think is a wonderful characterization. God within God, square dancing. And that's why Adam couldn't be alone. And God had to make a partner for Adam. Where God's image shines, the relationships that we're in are good and edifying. We've all sometimes been in relationships that were not good for us, and other relationships that really edified us. Being image bearers of God also has to do with our task in this world, which Genesis 1 describes for us. We humans share the dignity of God in this world, and God gave us dominion over the rest of the creation. Dominion is much misunderstood. Think of it as a shepherd who takes care of the sheep. You will know from the rest of the Old Testament especially that the job of a king in Israel was to exercise dominion through being a shepherd, not a dictator. Dominion is like being a dad or a mom. I walk around the lake by our house very regularly, and I see especially moms with little baby carriages, well, big baby carriages, and they have everything they need to make sure their baby is well taken care of. Should it rain? Well, they're equipped. They have something to cover the baby. If it's cold, they have a blanket and so forth. And it just, I really get a kick out of to see how that comes to every mother that I see walking around the lake with her baby carriage. The baby's got to be well. And that's what dominion is all about. We and the whole creation need to be well. Every one of us bears God's image. There is no exception. I think most of us have a human father and a human mother, and that makes us human. Regardless of anything else that may be true of us, that makes us human. We have the fabulous honor of bearing God's image in this world. It is a wonderful blessing when a child comes into the world healthy and well, and everybody delights, falls in love with the child instantaneously, it seems to me. Such children bear God's image. It is a terrible tragedy when a child comes into this world with birth anomalies, all kinds of imperfections. But such a child too bears God's image and is precious in God's sight. The child with anomalies bears God's image. We dare to say that as Christians. And that's why also those children receive the best of our care that we can manage. So this has a great deal to do with how we treat each other. We humans can be very cruel to each other. There have been a number of movies about mean girls, teenage girls who can just really do terrible things to each other. We may act sometimes as if you belong to the wrong tribe, the wrong religion, the wrong caste, and so it's fine if we chop off your hands, gouge out your eyes, throw a bomb into your store, lob poisonous gas into your neighborhood, into your community. After all, you are worth less than I am because you belong in the wrong place. But Christians say, no, no, no. We all bear God's image. But in our failure to honor the image of God is one of the most important places where things have gone wrong in our world. And I want to say a few things that happened and continue to happen because people forgot that we're image bearers of God or didn't believe it. The Nazis supposed themselves to be the superior race. Everyone else was inferior, especially the Jews. And so it would probably do the human race a favor to get rid of the Jews. There was a Roman Catholic philosopher already in the 1920s who went from city to city in Europe warning people about the danger of Hitler. He said, if you are going to vote for Hitler and allow him to have his way in Germany, there's going to be blood in the streets. I can tell you, I'm guaranteeing it. And by the mid-30s, it was beginning to happen. Blood was being shed in Europe in Nazis' name long before World War II broke out. They believed they were the superior race. And so they denied what the Bible teaches about humans. If they had remembered and believed what the Bible said, there wouldn't have been that kind of disaster. Racism is exactly like that too. When black people were bought and sold as slaves, it was because many thought they were certainly lower than humans, maybe a little bit lower, higher than animals, but certainly lower than humans, where humans equals white. And for most of history, were humans meant to be white males. That was the standard for humanism, white males for a very long time. If you're not white male, you were considered inferior. In South Africa, apartheid was eventually rejected because the church came to see that teaching the inferiorities of black is heresy, and to implement actions that treat blacks as inferior is wicked. And the church finally said that's true. Throughout history, women have been treated similarly as inferior. To this day, in many instances, a little example of it would be that women frequently get less money for the same work. That's still true. I have a granddaughter who's a librarian. And she says in Canada, and she doesn't work in Canada, but she's in Canada, the wage difference between male librarians and female librarians is approximately $30,000. And that just is not supposed to be that way. It's just not right. If you really want to read a little bit about women as inferiors, the novel Middlemarch, which is often considered to be the best English 19th century novel. It's full of that kind of stuff. Interestingly written by a woman who changed her name. And the name was George Eliot. But George hides the fact that it was a woman who wrote the novel. So I mean for those examples to show that if we don't have a really good biblical understanding of what it means to be human as image bearers, we have a major reason why so much goes wrong in life. So think of this text. Think of what God meant for you and me and for all humans to be. And before this text as a mirror, we can't but notice that we are far from that all too often. We mirror so little of it. So this text makes me pray, Lord God, I'm a long way from that. But can you help me at least to move in that kind of direction so that there's at least a bit of the image coming together again in me and all that I love and in all God's people? We want to be more holy before God. We want to be more respectful of God and of one another. We want to be people of integrity because that's how we image God. We want to have more of God shine through us so that maybe sometime, somewhere along the line, someone will say, you know, I think I see a little bit of God in you. Becoming more transparent to the presence of God because we image God. And what if that continues to fail? I mean, what if it doesn't get any better? What would happen if ultimately the pinnacle of God's creation would collapse, would be permanently destroyed and done in? Of all the other creatures that God made, God said it is good. Tov is a Hebrew word. Of the image that we are of God, the Hebrew says very good. It's just simply tov, tov. Good, good. And what if in the end that turns out not to be the case? Well, in the scripture, repeatedly, we learn that God does not intend for that to be the case. Because if we would be an utter failure, then God would be a failure, and the evil one would be a success. The kingdom of darkness would have the last word and the last laugh. So the letter to the Colossians presents to us Jesus. He is now the new and invisible of the image of the invisible God. He's the one through whom God made all things, who was before all things, and who now is the guarantee of newness, a new beginning. In Jesus, God said the devil and sin and death and destruction must end. They cannot prevail. Jesus must win. Jesus the Christ, the one who unites all things, who reconciles us to God, and who makes peace through his blood. In Christ we have God's new beginning. What a wonderful gift that is. As Christians, we do our best to understand what's going on in the world. Why so much despair? Why is life so difficult and so miserable for many? I mentioned those five unnatural deaths early. That means five groups of families cast into deep sorrow. Just like that. It's amazing. Why do so many people make a mess of their lives? How can you and I, through word and deed, through our becoming what we're meant to be because of our faith and obedience to Christ, how can we speak a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom? How can we help those people, and how can we help ourselves to discover what does it really mean to be a human being, an image bearer? Because that is what we are meant to be and what we should become once more. At a mission in Brazil, a mission among people who have leprosy, a young man took part in a Bible study on Mary and Elizabeth. He listened for a while to the conversation, and then he says, "I'd like to speak my piece." He says, "I'm amazed," he said, "at this story. One poor woman visiting another simple woman, and they talk together about salvation and about the fate of the world. And that's what's happening in our Bible study as well. But many people," he said, "aren't simple. And that's why they don't discover the great tasks waiting them. You get people who measure themselves by those whom they know. I'm a friend of so-and-so. You see how big that makes me? I'm a friend of the doctor, the lawyer, the mayor, the senator, the landowner, the millionaire. I'm their friend. You see what that makes me?" And he said basically absolutely nothing. He says they hang their personality, their greatness on the wrong hook. It's rubbish. What makes us valuable is that we are children of God. That's what I think, said this young man. And that's what we are, children of God, meant to image the Father in beauty and in holiness, in love and in justice. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like to have us sing the song that's Psalm number 8, and you'll find it in the red hymnal at number 500.